All right, God's good tonight, isn't he? He's awesome. All right, so I have a schedule to teach tonight, so I thought, okay, what am I going to teach on in here? Huh. You know what? We're going back to the teen class, everybody. Okay, so I wanted to share with you tonight what we actually do in teen group, okay? Now, normally we would be in a big circle. I think you would all kill me if I made us change all these seats and put into a circle tonight, okay, and face each other. But I want you to be interactive, okay, talking. I like to talk. I learn from talking. I also learn from listening. Do not be afraid to be quiet tonight. We need your interaction. Can everybody agree with me on that? Okay, good. You're just like the teenagers. There's no difference. This is a program that we've been working out of. This is a lesson that was actually taught on Sunday. Justin taught it for me while I was having to pastor that morning. So he taught it for me back there. And we're doing a section on culture and engaging without conforming. Okay, we're living in a new society, aren't we? But I will tell you this. My grandma always said this to me. She was like, listen, there ain't nothing new. It's just publicized more. That's true. It really is true. It's just publicized a whole lot more. We're going to be reading tonight from John 17, 13 through 19. And you got it right in front of you here. And like how I am with my group, I will ask for a reader. Is there someone in the audience that would like to read tonight for me? Not everybody at one time. Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that. And it's the NLT version. We got it right here. Yep, if you'd read that, that'd be awesome.
Now I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth.
All right. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Awesome. So, in reading of John 17, 13 through 19, this is Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17. Which connects us directly to the center of God's heart. Because God so loved the world, he sent his son Jesus into the world. And because Jesus loved the world, he not only came as a holy sacrifice, but he sent his disciples to every corner of the world to extend his love to who would ever receive it. Now, I also asked this question a couple weeks ago in the teen group. When was the last time that you think someone from Mission Point or Cook Road Baptist was sent out to be a missionary from this church? Everybody went quiet because they didn't know anybody who was. And I believe the last person might have been Ellen. And Ellen said, I think it was me. Listen, y'all, I know people in here that we have... There are people that we're raising up who could be potential Billy Grahams. There could be potential missionaries. There could be potential different things. When the word is going to the uttermost parts of the world and we're spreading that to the uttermost parts of the world, we really need to be looking at who we are raising up in church as well. And that's one of our jobs. I feel like my job in teen group is finding out, okay, what's making this person tick? What is this person's ability, where can we get them to? And I think we have to see that with every child that comes through Mission Point, what is their potential in the kingdom? And that's what we are really working on. And when Ellen shared with everybody, she was like, I feel like I was the last missionary that came out of the church. Everybody just kind of sat and like, whoa, that's been a lot of years. Ellen, how many years ago did you go into the mission fields? And we know it's your birthday day. This is Ellen's birthday, everybody. Okay. So 15 years.
No, it's been longer than that. I think that's 20. No, it's been longer than that.
So it's been a few years. Okay. So we need to see people. Not every child is going to be called to be a missionary. Not every child is going to be called to be a pastor. Not every child is going to be called to be a teacher. But some will be. So in a church our size, we still need to be looking at all the gifts and talents that every child has and start forming them. And my dad always said this. He saw that I could play the piano, so he said when I was young, I'm not buying him a cheap piano. I'm going to buy him an expensive piano because I want him to learn well. Amen? Just like if your kid has a gift, dig deep into that. I know I got a little bit off topic there, but I think that's very important that we are digging deep into our kids here at Mission Point. It's huge for me. I think it's huge for you all as well. Let's flip your page over tonight, and let's look over the back here, and we're going to have a lot of things that we're going to interact in, okay? Now, before I get there, we live in what we call a post-Christian society. Has anybody ever heard that term? A post-Christian society. What does anybody think post-Christian society means? What is it?
After Christ.
Okay, a little bit more on that. Post-Christian society actually means that we no longer as a society are primarily the majority of the society. People do not identify, everybody's identifying right now. But people are not identifying as Christians. We used to have a song in the 80s. Stand up if you love Jesus. Stand up if you love... Okay, I know you may have not heard that. Maybe you have. But like we would stand up, it would say, identify. I remember we'd like stand up as little kids. Yes, we love Jesus. Think about that today. Would your children stand up and identify as a Christian in school? Would you identify as a Christian in society today? That's a big one. And so when we are trying to engage with people in culture today, do they know who you are? Have you connected with them? That's what living in a post-Christian society is right now. Take it back 15 years ago. Let's go further. Let's go back 30 years ago. What was the church like then? Very different, wasn't it? The church world was different 30 years ago. We had a lot more, we would probably say there was more legalism. There was probably more different things that we had in the church that we didn't have from the world. But at the same time, we were still trying to teach truth. Let's fast forward 30 years now. We're still trying to preach truth. But are we bringing some of the world into the church? And that's where we're living into a post-Christian society. We're trying to be like the world. We don't always need to be like the world. God called us out of the world, amen? To be separate. So when we are living in this post-Christian society, be proud to be a Christian. Be proud to read your Bible at home. Be proud to pray in public. Be proud to pray at your dinner. You don't have to say something huge loud when you're at Wendy's, but you could just pray and bow your head. I feel like people are afraid to pray in public. And we shouldn't be that way anymore. But these are some of the things that we're trying to teach the kids back in the teen group. Hey, we need you to be bold Christians today. When you go into school, we also need you to be bold about what you believe in. Everyone's identifying as something today. I mean, you turn on TV, everyone's identifying. But what are you identifying as? When you came down and asked Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you actually took on the title, not as a Baptist. You took on the title as a born-again believer, as a Christian, and that's what you identify as. So we really need to think about that tonight, living in this time that we're in. So God so loved the world that he sent his only son into the world, and Jesus fully loved the world that he lived in it so people could experience his full impact of his love. Could you imagine being there when Jesus actually lived and taught? I would just like to have been one of the people in the crowd. Amen? I personally wouldn't want to be fully wrote about. But I'd like to have been one of the people who sat at his feet. I think that would be an amazing thing to sit there and listen to him teach. We have people today, our children in schools and around the world, don't even know the name of Jesus. And we're saying, Matt, that's not legit. No, that's true. That's true. Me and Laura had encountered kids downtown who had no clue who Jesus was. And this was about 4 years ago. And I'm saying it was a large population of children. This wasn't in another country. This is in your own backyard, Mansfield. Amen? So we really need to be reaching our community as well. One more thing before we go into this. I was digging through a bunch of old pictures here the other day, and I think it's kind of funny. I was cleaning out some stuff, just looking through some things, and I saw a bunch of your faces when you were younger, and you had some hair, some of you. And I saw something across the front of the stage. What did the stage used to say across here? Anybody remember what it said? You're the church of, it's the church of the globe. And I think that's something that we have to still remember today, that we are the church of the globe. And we're still reaching people, and we're still extending out to everybody. Let's look at section number one here. It says, we were just visitors here. All right, can I have someone read bullet point number one for me? Would someone like to read bullet point number one? Yeah, just the first bullet point under number one. All right, so what's our reaction to that? Anybody have a reaction to that? It says, what's your reaction to hearing that we do not belong to this world, just as Jesus didn't belong to this world? I'm not part of this world. Amen? When we accepted Jesus Christ, we're technically not part of it. We are aliens. We're passing through. And is this our eternal home? No. Something that is amazing about a Christian that an atheist doesn't have, we have songs, we're happy, we have an afterlife. Think about that. I remember my very first week in college, I met an atheist professor that I had never met in my entire life. First week, I got stuck with an atheist. And he said, by the end of this class, we'll see if you love Jesus or not. And I was like, oh my goodness, Lord, do I have enough scripture saved up in my brain to actually make it through this class? Or can I just withdraw? And I thought about it, and I prayed about it, and I'm like, man, I really need to withdraw. And God spoke to me and said, no, you need to stay in. Because maybe you might win them. And maybe you need to be tested a little bit. I got to see. Okay. Let's look at the second one here. Think about a time when you visited someone else's home or had a visitor in your home. How does a good visitor treat a host? I asked this to the kids. How does a good visitor treat a host? With respect. Okay. Anything else? Helpful? Okay. So these are some of the things that we're trying to instill in our kids as well, okay? This is the same thing for adults. We have to do that as well. Let's look at the next bullet point. In what ways would you consider Earth your home? In what ways would you consider it to be a temporary dwelling? Anybody out there? Let me just ask somebody here. Becca, can I ask you? Great, thank you. Okay, in what ways would you consider Earth to be your home? In what ways would you consider it to be a temporary dwelling?
Earth is, I would consider Earth my home because this is where my physical body is, this is where my physical home is.
Amen. So we graduated around the same time frame, I think. Okay. You and Andrew both, I think, graduated around the same time. I probably did. So I've been out of school for 20 years now, going on 21. Did you think that time, does it feel like time has passed really quick for you guys? Yeah. Horrifically.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how time goes past really fast? I've heard my dad say, hey, I've been out of school for like 50-some years now. I think it's been out of school for like 55, 56 years. He's like, man, it feels like yesterday. Doesn't it feel like yesterday? Me and Laura have been married for 15 years almost. Does it almost feel like yesterday? Please say yes. Thank you. I appreciate you. All right. As he did with the disciples, Jesus sends us to his world to share his love that makes us visitors here. How would you think you've been doing in this role and why? So, Jesus makes us disciples. Okay, anybody have a clue on that one, would like to help answer that? Let's read it again. As he did with his disciples, Jesus sends us into the world to share his love. That makes us visitors here. How would you think you've been doing in this role and why? Yes.
We're going through the discipleship program.
Okay.
And as we're getting into, I think, chapter 3, it's exciting to read and learn. That's part of the reason why I don't say anything to somebody in public.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're learning.
Amen.
And it is very exciting to read.
Mm-hmm. Are you excited for the opportunity someday to be able to go out? It's nerve-wracking, isn't it?
It is.
But it is a good feeling.
Yes.
I'm happy for you guys. I've seen a lot of growth since you started coming to the church. That's a wonderful thing. And discipleship is amazing. If you haven't been discipled yet, get into the discipleship program. It is very, very, very good. I would also say for me personally, I think Jesus sends us in to share. I have this on and off relationship like throughout my Christian life. There have been moments I've been, oh, gung-ho on fire. Ah. And there's been a few moments I'm like, oh, I need a break. I do not want to go share the gospel. Someone please take my 5 Sunday school classes. I don't want to do this today. Anybody ever been there? I'm just being honest and real. Been there. And then the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, somehow kicks me in the rear and says, go do something. There's still people that need help. Amen? I have to really look over things to continue work. If I get focused on one thing, it will drive me insane. So I have to go in with tunnel vision on things. And when I go in with tunnel vision and I go prayed up, I go on a mission. And then I can go do what God's work wants me to do. But if I don't go in with some blinders on once in a while, I just, like, dude, I get sidetracked. So I think that's how a lot of Christians are. We get sidetracked with different things that are happening. We need to stay focused on what God is wanting us to do. Let's look at the last one in section one here. It says, what can you do to become more loving? Jesus honoring visitors in this world. What can you do to become more loving? Jesus honoring visitors of this world. What can we do? What can we do to be more loving? Got to ask for it. All right. Okay. I think one of the things We cannot turn people away at the door here at the church. I am a particular person. Like, I am so particular, it's ridiculous. In my home. My home is like, I was raised really different. But everything has to be in a certain spot. I need that there. I know everybody who comes in here is not going to be the exact same as me. Amen? It's hard for me sometimes. I have to love everyone. There is going to be kids that are going to come in here and they are not going to walk or talk like my kids. But I want my kids to interact like with them and be their best friend. Amen? Why do we want that for? Share Jesus with them. I want their homes to have love in it. I want Jesus to come into their home. Not every home is going to be perfect. Our home ain't perfect. We have a lot of mistakes. I make a lot of mistakes. You make a few. I make more. But I make a lot. And I can just be very real with you tonight. We have to be loving to all people. We don't have to agree with the sin. Amen? There's the difference. Don't agree with the sin. But who do we love? The soul, the person. We have to be loving to them. I see a lot of people. We had this in church in the past. Oh, they're gay. Well, where else better would you have them at? You need them in church. Then you get saved. Amen? Amen. Don't shoot them and put them out the door and tell them not to come in. Bring them in. Let them hear the gospel. Let them get saved. We hear them. I've heard this too. Oh, they're a drug addict. What are you going to do? Send them down to the road? They're trying to come in off the street. Bring them in. Oh, they're poor. Okay, you could be too. God could take everything away from you tomorrow. Love them. We have to love people. It's all about loving people. Our culture might be different today, but the love of God has never changed in over 2,000 years. It's never changed. It's still the same. So what do we have to do? Love them. Bring them in. Invite them. I'm going to be honest with you. Every person, every family in here has every type of person in your family. And y'all say, no, I don't. I'm going to be saying, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You're like, well, that's not nice to say, Matt. I'm like, that's just honest. Because I don't go home with any of y'all. You don't go home with me. And I was raised in a pastor's home, and I know us four boys were not perfect. And it took my parents a whole lot of work to even get us to where we are today. I'm going to be honest with you. Every person's home is completely, completely different. Every dynamic, every child is different. Every person is different when it walks through this door. We have to find ways here at church to reach every single child. We have to find ways here at church to reach every single adult. You say, how is that possible with 150 to 190 people? All right. It says, for God so loved the who? The world. Amen? Isn't that a good feeling? That Jesus sat with prostitutes. He sat with drunkards. He talked with tax collectors, physicians, people that were not of the norm. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ entertained this company. Amen. We should be so welcoming to other people as well. Let's look at number two. We're safe in the arms of God. Amen. So let's look at bullet point number one here. It says in verse 15, Jesus asks God to keep us safe. What are some ways to choose to walk away from the safety of God's protection? How does it feel to know he always welcomes us back? I think to answer that, you have to be a person who's walked away from God. Been there. I'll be honest with you. I have. Has it been pretty? No. It's terrible. But can I be honest with you? People loved me. People loved me. People prayed for me. You might have lost sons and daughters. Maybe some might have went back. Okay, what do we do for them? What should we be doing for all of them? Praying. Every day, pray. Praying for them. Praying every day for them. I hear this sometimes come out. They're a lost cause. Is any person a lost cause in Jesus? No. There is not a single person who is ever a lost cause. Every single person has potential. There's two types of people in the world, and we try to teach this to our youth right now. There are Christians, and there are potential Christians. And I have to be smiling when I say it to them, because that's your mission field, everyone else. Amen? They're potentials. If they don't know Jesus, they are a potential. And what was so interesting to me, I was on a group text this with about our volleyball team. Something happened, and they said, we're trying to do a beach volleyball night. And it was so funny. Someone said, well, we're kind of old. We might die doing this. And Tiffany had wrote back to everybody. She said, well, if you're not saved, let me lead you to the Lord today. Now, it was a joke, but when's the last time you've led someone to the Lord? I need us to really think about that. When's the last time through conversation, through your talk, through your what you're doing, that you've led someone? Maybe you never have, and I'm not bashing anybody tonight. It's been a little bit for me as well since I've led someone, personal conversation outside the walls of this church, to Jesus Christ. It hits everywhere. And if we can hone in on people, we can start. Do you know what would be amazing? Is that if our people, I tell this to the kids, if you get on fire for God, He'll grow our youth group. If we get on fire here for the Lord, He'll change our outlook. If we get on fire here for God, He'll also change our home. If we get on fire here for God, in 2 to 3 years, we may have to build a new church at Mission Point. Now you all say, that's a lot. You're thinking way too far out, Matt. No, I'm not. I'm just being honest. You have to look at the potential. Every day I come into work here and I see potential. Where do you think I see potential when I walk into the church here? Where do you think? When I'm driving in, where's all the potential at? Ellen's pointing right next door. Could you imagine if someone got on fire for the Lord here and was like, ooh, I love to bust people. Ooh, I love to bring people in. Ooh, I love to do this. Now listen, I'm a terrible driver and you really don't want me driving a bus, but I will definitely go along with you. Amen? I volunteer. I go as tribute. I'll go with you. I'm not afraid. Now drive everything else. It's pretty terrible. We have such a huge mission field. We're scared, aren't we, sometimes? Sometimes we're scared. Why do you think we get scared? If God so loved the world, why do you think we get scared sometimes? A lot of unknowns. We're scared of outside of our world. I am too sometimes. I'm just perfectly honest. I get scared of things. Me and Laura pastored on Sturgis Street. Sturgis Avenue, yeah. We never had a security team. I never had... Half my congregation was, everything was mixed. I had people, we've Narcanned in the middle of church, after church. So I can tell you, I'm not afraid of anything. But did I go in very scared at first? Yes. But can I tell you this? There are people that I still see on the street and they say, hey, Pastor Matt. And I'm like, oh, they remember me. All they need is love. For God so loved the world that he sent his son into the world. For God so loved you. For God so loved the neighbors next door, the apartments behind us, the apartments over there. Do you know how many people are in our surrounding area and a block? Does anybody know? It's in the 1,000 range, a block. I want you to think about that, a block in a 1,000 range. That's almost mind-blowing. Your potential is right here. For God so loved the world, we have to get on fire for God. For God so loved the world, we have to do something. Amen? Let's look at the next bullet point here. Which one are we on? Number two, okay. Describe a time when you've experienced God's protection. How would you explain that to someone who hasn't yet known God? Has anybody in here ever experienced God's protection? You have? Okay. We had a great example today through Doug. That was God's protection. Anybody want to share or elaborate on when you've had God's protection? Anybody want to? Yes. Wow. God's protection. It's amazing what God's protection can do. I've had over the years, my dad did evangelism work for a long time, and we sang and traveled with him. Listen, that was not the funnest thing in the whole wide world. I remember we were in Virginia, and we had a bus, and we were on top of a mountain, and our brakes went out on the side of a mountain. And my mom was like, everybody down and pray. And somehow we coasted backwards and got off on this thing, and it was right there. Isn't God good? We don't thank him enough for the good things. We look at the tragedy, don't we? We look at tragedy, but God protects us. He puts ministering angels around us. That's some of the good news we need to share with people. Hey, get saved. God's going to send ministering angels your way. Amen. We got to share the good news to people. What's some other protection? Ellen, I know that you were in the mission field. I know he's protected you somewhere around the world.
And I wanted to just get home on the same bus and didn't want to change buses. And as I'm standing there with my friends, a gang comes this way, and a gang comes this way, and they're fighting with knives, and they're bloody, and they see me, the only American around, and they stop, and they come straight up to me, and they're like, we want all your money. I'm like, I have none. I didn't have any. It was the only time that I lived in that door that I couldn't access money, and I had none. I had no money at all. And they left us alone, and as they walked by us, the one guy that had blood on his hand just put it on the bus that drove by, that wasn't our bus anymore, and we ended up taking the taxi home.
Amen. Isn't God's protection amazing? It's amazing. And I think those are things we share with people. Sorry you just shared this with your mom today. I apologize about that, Marilyn. I'm not in your family drama at this point. We're just bringing people together. Yes. Wow. God's amazing. I'm going to go to the last bullet point on number two here. We're going to skip down here. Describe a situation where you've experienced God's truth and wisdom making you holy. How would you explain that to someone who doesn't yet follow Jesus? Usually when I look at myself, I still look, ugh. We have to remember we are holy. We're set apart. Amen? Yes. Amen. Amen. And see, that's something we also need to share. People sometimes say, oh, God doesn't heal people. Yes, he does. He's a healer. He's a savior. You know, one of the biggest healings is, we forget this, is when someone comes in lost and gets saved. That is a huge healing. The next, God can actually take care of your circumstance. He can totally cure your circumstance. It's in God's will. But you have to put it in God's hands for him. Not saying that everything will be. And it's up to God. But it's amazing when it does happen. Let's look at section number three here. God sent his only son, who sends who? Us. Man, God has to send us. Why can't he send the neighbor? Why can't he send my frenemy? Right? We're friendly with them, but we're not too friendly with them. You're like, can you just send them to go preach the gospel? You know what God's trying to say is that you are very well equipped. There are people in this room who are well-equipped to do a whole lot of things. I have to share this with our teens all the time. Laura's in there all the time. A lot of times Ellen's in the room with us. And we have to share with them, God gave you gifts. And if you don't use them, you're going to lose them. Okay, that's still the exact same with adults. Amen? There are people in here who I bet have amazing singing voices, who are probably talented, who probably have other gifts, who probably can play instruments, and we have never heard you. Okay, I need to know that by the end of church. But also, there are people in here who God has called to be teachers, leaders. God also sent you into the world to do something amazing. Well, you say, he just sent Dan. Well, listen, today Dan ain't feeling too hot. And someday Dan won't always be here. And someday I'm going to age out, gracefully, but I will someday. What's going to happen then? Who's going to be the next one? Don't we have to bring other people up as well? I could just about guess that God's already called people in here to do things. And we say, Lord, not today. Oh, I don't want to. Lord, it's going to take my time. If you call me to go do something for you, I can't have pool night. I can't go. My social life is going to be a wreck. It's going to mess with my family. I have laundry. I'm a mom. How am I going to take care of this? Can I tell you, God figures everything out. If you would just go in and say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Pray crazy prayer like that once in a while. Lord, would you use me? And Lord, would you send me? And I'm going to tell you something. If you pray that and you're sincere about that, he'll do something in your life. And you won't be able just to sit there any long. You'll have to do something. Can I tell you, we have a lot of work to do? We need extra Awana workers this year. I'm already putting a pre-thing out here. We need some Awana workers. Men, we need some Sunday school teachers. And assistance, and we really need some men. I'm not saying anything about bad women. Our women here are amazing. But when you take the ratio of our women who teach our children to our men, it far surpasses the men. Guys, if God ever lays it on your heart that you need to step up and do something, we're not going to turn you away. Amen? Because there's a lot of boys that need a dad in our classes. I mean, I'm being real, real with everybody tonight. We have some kids who really need a dad. They need a grandpa. They need someone who they can just lean on. It's sad sometimes. It's hard to hear it, but they really do need that. Yes. Yeah.
Nothing like a good mom.
We have some amazing moms here, don't we?
Yeah.
We sure do. But we need some dads. I'm being very, very real with that, and I know I probably did a little overkill on it, especially with Sunday's message. But man, if we could get some extra ones involved in our programs here, that'd be awesome. Let's look at this. Okay, number two here on number three. When the responsibility feels overwhelming, where can you find reassurance and support? Have you ever felt overwhelmed? Okay, isn't this amazing that this is in a teen's lesson? You wouldn't think a teen would feel overwhelmed. Dalen, do you ever feel overwhelmed?
Not really.
Okay, that stinks. All right. Man, I was really hoping you was going to say yes. Gosh. Okay, that is true. At least he's realistic. Okay. Everybody else would probably say, yeah, I feel overwhelmed today with this. Yeah. Okay. Now, our overwhelming feelings are different than a teenager's overwhelming feelings. Where do you feel overwhelmed at in day-to-day life? Yeah, it stinks, doesn't it? Yeah, you're like, all I want to do is just sit on the beach.
Yes, waking up before you gotta go to work.
That is overwhelming. Okay, so that's stressful. What's some other overwhelming things we got going on?
Not enough time to get stuff done.
It doesn't feel like there's enough time in one day, does there? I was mad at FedEx for the last 4 days. I've been trying to get this box delivered to me here at the church. And I'm sitting here tracking it like I'm mad. Okay, right? Because day number one, it was supposed to be here by Sunday, right? My box that I needed. It was supposed to be here on Saturday. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, where are they at? Where are they at? Where are they at? We even had people here at the church. They left a little note. You missed it. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Monday rolls around. I'm already stressed. I waited all day here at church. At 6 o'clock, I get an email. Oh, it just arrived. I'm no longer there, but I was going to come back in like 1 hour. Are you kidding? Tuesday rolls around, right? I'm here all day long. I got to be back for practice by that night here at the church. Okay. I'm like, are they really going? Final notice. I was so mad. I came to work today. I'm like, okay, I have to go to FedEx. I got to go clear. Okay. Then go to FedEx. I'm thinking, okay, FedEx is on Lexington Avenue. No, that's a UPS store. I even walk into the UPS store, and here's Chris Klinger behind me. And I was so embarrassed. And they were like, sir, this is not a FedEx. This is UPS. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Jesus loves you. My bad. And Chris Klinger from the church is like standing right behind me. He was like, dude, it's okay. I'm like thinking, yeah, he thinks he's a total idiot. I had to go clear out by the airport. I was frustrated. And then I get there, and they were like, sir, the real thing is because you're technically a church, it's classed as a business, and we just couldn't leave it there. And it was a real nice guy. And I really wanted to rip that person so bad. But could I do that? No. It wasn't him. He would be on the receiving end of my wrath that I paid $20 extra for to get my package here on time for Sunday. That I have to fight with to get my money back. No, I could not do that. And would that share God's love to him if he sees me out in public next time? No. He'd be like, dude, I ain't ever going to Mission Point. That guy's a jerk. I just had to say, have a nice day. Isn't that hard sometimes? I remember we used to go with some people after church to McDonald's. Listen, church crowds sometimes can get kind of when you don't make their hamburger in time. It was embarrassing. Got to the point, I'm like, I'm not going to McDonald's no more with you people. Because, listen, they didn't kill the dad, go out and kill the cow. Life is not that stressful, y'all. Amen? And so we're grown adults. Who's usually working at the McDonald's counter? Teens. Who are we trying to retain right now in our church? Teens.
Teens that can't do their job right.
Yes, but we're going to try to get them to do it right, amen? You're going to get to go to work every day on time. I might have to set an alarm for you. Listen, we have to make sure that we are being a light in where? Everywhere we go. For God so loved the world, it's going to be okay if your hamburger's 5 minutes late. It's going to be okay if tragedy comes tomorrow. Tragedy's going to hit everyone's home. Anybody ever had a major tragedy? Like, I've had some. I never thought when I was young, I never thought, oh, life was so great growing up from 18 to like 22. I never had a major, major, major tragedy in my life. And then for a good span, about 3 years, I had everything horrific happen in my life. And I'll just be real flat honest with you. My grandfather fell down this flight of stairs and died. That was horrific. We lost a baby. That was horrific. I came to work right after that. My pay got cut in half. That was horrific. I watched my grandmother die of cancer. That was horrific. I watched my youngest uncle die of cancer. That was horrific. I watched my dad's oldest brother die of cancer. That was horrific. I've watched people go through divorce. I've watched different issues happen. But I still have to remember that God has everything in control of my life. And no matter what circumstance happens to Matt Parsons, to Laura Parsons, to whoever in this church, God's going to take care of things. And we still have to, even though we have an awful circumstance happen, there's still people lost, dying, and going to hell. Isn't that the main thing? We've had to kick ourselves in the rear and say, we got to get up to go to church this morning. Can I tell you, the hardest Sunday was ever in my life. We lost a baby, and it was that next Sunday, and it was Christmas. And we said, looked at each other, do you want to go to church today? No. Do you want to go to church today? No. But we made a commitment to God. Okay, we got to go. Amen. We made a commitment to God. And we knew that someday that God would give us children. All right, we got to make a commitment for our future children. And now we have three boys. And are there Sundays I could sleep in? Yeah. Are there Wednesday nights I'd like to be like, I need to take a day off tonight? Yeah. But can I be honest with you? I don't want to miss the blessing. I don't want to miss the opportunity of seeing someone come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior someday. And I would love to see God just do something amazing in each person's life. I might be really a nosy person. That's probably why I don't like to miss church for. Because I don't want to miss what good's going to happen next. I mean, something good could happen when you miss. That Sunday you miss, let me tell you, something good's going to happen. And it's going to be funny. Or it's going to be amazing. We just need to think about this tonight. We'll end on this. For God so loved the world, he thought of each of you. He thought of your families. He thought of our community. He saw a mission point. And he saw what we can do for Mansfield. Amen.